times when sin tempts me and I choose to sin, God, I pray that you'll forgive me for that, God, and help me to truly repent and turn away from that, and God, to draw closer to you and have the walk that you desire with me and God, that I desire with you. And God, I pray as we've come together tonight, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you'll help us for the next few minutes to let everything else go, to concentrate on your word. God, I pray as I try to preach tonight that you'll guard my mind, that you'll guard my lips, God, guard my heart, that everything that is said from this pulpit will line up with your word. And God, I pray that you'll help us always, God, to do exactly what you'd be pleased with. God, I pray most of all for the lost. I pray that you'll be with them. God, I pray that you'll show them their need for a salvation, and may they find that salvation, and may they receive that salvation before it's everlasting too late. We thank you for this opportunity again that we have to be in your house. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. John chapter number 4, again, just I know I've said this 3 times already, but I really desire your prayers tonight. I never want to be within myself, never want to give my opinion. Church, you know that if I get into my opinion, I try to do my best to say, this is my opinion, and lay it out there. And, you know, a lot of times on Wednesday night, you know, I talk to y'all about Wednesday night being my time of refuge. We all have stressful jobs and stressful lives, and we run and do all the time and working and all those different things, and I love to come Wednesday night and just find refuge. I love to preach about the love of Christ. I love to preach about grace. I love to preach about those things and come into God's house and find refuge. Seems like this week, as I've been thinking about what to preach since Sunday, it seems like there's been something else kind of on my mind, and we're going to have a little straight talk tonight instead of having just grace and mercy, and some of that will be in there, but we're going to have a little bit of straight talk with just everything that's going on in our world tonight and in our lives. I think that as we look in John chapter number 4, maybe we can see an approach or maybe a side to everything that we need to have as Christians. Maybe a different perspective is the word I'm looking for. So John chapter number 4, let's begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." I can never get past that verse right there. As we began to think about Jesus and his traveling, and I'm sure he and his disciples, they had destinations that they were going, and they were kind of going from place to place. But I love the way that verse number 4 says that Jesus, verse number 4 says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." As we get to verse number 4, we realize that Jesus knew that there was a need in Samaria, that there was a reason that he needed to pass through Samaria, and he decided that no matter what, no matter what the disciples done, no matter what the next destination that they were going to have, that there was a need in Samaria and that he was going to go through Samaria. I want you to know tonight, as I've been thinking about some different things going on in our lives right now, that right now in our country, we have a desperate need. We have a need for Jesus to pass by our way. In the Bible, as you look, so many different times, there were different needs in people's lives. There were different things going on. There were people who had leprosy. There were people who were lame, people who were blind, people who had died. And there was reason that Jesus needed to pass by their way. And each and every time when Jesus passed by their way, miraculous things happen. And there's so many things going on right now that we need God to move on, and we need Jesus to pass by. We need God to pass by. And the thing of it is, though, is I believe that there are times in our life that God passes by, that Jesus passes by our way, and we don't even recognize it. We are so caught up in the moment. We are so caught up in whatever's going on that we don't realize that God passed by, that there was a miracle that was so close to us, that there was something that could have happened so extraordinary, but we were so caught up in the moment, or we were so caught up within ourselves that we didn't even realize that a miracle passed by. We need a miracle right now. We need a miracle. We need God to move. We need for Jesus to pass by. And I'm glad that even though in verse number 4 it says he must needs go through Samaria, well, God also knows what we need. He understands what we need, and he wants to meet our need if we are willing to let him meet that need. I believe that we need to be in prayer for our nation right now. We need to be in prayer for one another. We need to be in prayer for so many different things that's going on right now, and we don't need to take it lightly. lighthearted, I know that sometimes even I have to reach and turn my TV off. I have to reach and say, Facebook, that's enough. I have to turn the radio off because I'm sick and tired of hearing it. But I need us to understand, and I think I need to understand in my life right now that even though that I want to kind of push it to the side and quit thinking about it and quit hearing about it, that I definitely don't need to quit praying about it, because we need God to move right now. Verse number 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. I'm glad that he was willing to go and to wait. He was willing to do more than his part to be sure that the need was met. Verse number 7, then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? At this point in time in the scripture, the Jewish people and the Samaritans had absolutely nothing to do with each other. They were absolutely separated. And here in verse number 9, as Jesus has asked this woman for a drink, as he is sitting there by the well, and look, he is there for his need, not for her. He's there for her need, not for his need. But as he is sitting there by the well, the Bible says that he is wearied. And as she comes to the well and he says, give me to drink. And she says, how in the world are you going to ask of me a drink? Because you're a Jew and here I am a Samaritan. You're not even supposed to speak to me. How in the world would you ask me for a drink? Again, verse number 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and when he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? I'm glad that as we see Jesus sitting here by the well, that he knew there was a need and he went to meet the need. He was willing to wait for the person that was going to be there at the well. He was willing to go over and beyond to see that that need was met. And then as she comes to the well, he wasn't concerned that she was a Samaritan. He wasn't concerned that he wasn't supposed to talk to her. He wasn't concerned about who she was or where she was from. He wasn't concerned that she pointed out the differences. She wanted to say, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, how could you talk to me? He wasn't concerned that she pointed out that he had nothing to draw with and he had a need that he couldn't meet. The only concern that Jesus had as he was there at the well, as this lady came by, that he knew there was a need, the only concern that Jesus had was that she had a need for living water. You know, as we go through our lives, we need to be less concerned about this life here and much more concerned about eternity. We are just pilgrims and strangers passing through. I'm glad that as Jesus is sitting there, that he wasn't concerned where she was from. He wasn't concerned about what she had done. He wasn't concerned about the differences that they had. He was concerned that she had a need of living water. And I realized, look, I'm going to just be blunt. This is going to give you a little straight talk right here. I realize that I may not understand prejudice. I may not understand racism. I may not understand social injustice. But what I do understand is that I know what living water is. I know how living water feels. I know where to find living water. And I have a responsibility to a lost and a dying world, no matter their race, no matter their financials, no matter anything else. I have a responsibility to give this lost and a dying world the gospel and point them to Jesus Christ, the living water. Amen. I may not understand some of the things that are taking place. I may not know how to find empathy. I may not understand some of it, but what I do know is I know what living water is. I met living water when I was 7 years old. I knew that I had a need, just as this woman walking to the well that day, just as she may not even understood what her real need was. At the age of 7, I didn't understand how big my need was, but when Jesus Christ spoke to my heart and I realized that I was lost and that I couldn't go to heaven, that unless I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, I'm glad that at the age of 7, as Jesus came into my life. He forgave me of my sins. I received that living water, and spiritually, I have never thirsted again. He met my need there with that living water. I know how that living water feels. I remember getting up scared out of my bed that night. I remember having that feeling of being lost. I remember having that hopeless feeling that I couldn't go to heaven. But after I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, I remember going to bed peaceful and with comfort in my heart, knowing that grace was real, knowing that Jesus Christ had forgiven me of my sins. And I also knew where to find living water. There is going to be no satisfaction. There is going to be no hope. There is going to be no joy without Jesus Christ in our lives. I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ is the living water and that Jesus Christ will satisfy a longing soul. It's meant for everyone, no exceptions. Church, where should we stand on these issues? Here's what it is. There shouldn't be a prejudiced bone in our body. There shouldn't be a racist bone in our body. There shouldn't be anything that we should shun no one for any reason from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There should be nothing that stands between our love. See, you know, God loves everyone. Look, I'm gonna go a little bit here, and y'all bear with me. We'll circle back with this. I don't want you to get up and walk out on me just too quick, so we'll circle back with this in just a second. We shouldn't shun anyone for any reason from the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves everyone. No matter their race, their gender, their sexual preference, their financial status, their last name, their political affiliation, none of those things matter in God's eyes. God loved us each and every one so much that he allowed Jesus Christ to come and give his life that we may have forgiveness of our sins. But we need to make no mistake with the statement that I just made. God loves everyone, again, I'm going to repeat, no matter race, gender, sexual preference, financial status, last name, political affiliation, or any of those things, God loves us all the same. But let's look in verse number 17. The woman answered, this is after Jesus said, go and call thy husband. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. Let me read that again, because I got a little tongue-tied. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. He says, go and call a husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right, you've had five husbands. And the man you're with now is not your husband. So let's circle back with that statement. God loves everyone, no matter race, gender, sexual preference, financial status, last name, political affiliation, or any of those things. But we need to make no mistake that God loved us, but he did not give his son Jesus Christ that we may continue to live in sin. And God has set forth some guidelines for us to live by, not so that we would be miserable, not so that we couldn't have fun, not so that we couldn't be who we think that we should be, but he has set forth some guidelines that we can live our lives in a holy estate and have fellowship, perfect fellowship with him and his son and the Holy Spirit in our lives. A lot of times when we say God loves everyone, no matter what, we all picture a campfire and everyone standing around singing Kumbaya. We all picture roasting marshmallows around the campfire and everyone joined arm in arm. But you know, that's not what God says in his word. If that was the case, there would be no reason for God to tell us to put on the whole armor of God and to become warriors. There would be no reason for that if we was all just going to be kumbaya. And what I'm getting at is this. We are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to love everyone. We are to show the gospel and share the gospel with everyone. But when we get to the place that we're willing to compromise sin in order to show love, and in order to show acceptance, then we're even going against God's word. Amen. I know this is not one of those that you just go, hallelujah, preacher, that's good preaching. But what I want us to see tonight is, yes, we love everyone. We share the gospel with everyone. And no matter what, there's nothing that stands between anyone and God's love. But however, we cannot compromise God's word and say, well, it's because of love. Because then when we begin to do that, we no longer love them. Because we then quit pointing them to the cross of Christ and to God's love that will save them from their sins. And we then compromise and allow them to be in a position to where they may die in their sins and spend eternity in hell. I know, a little straight talk, a little deep tonight. And I'm not a very deep person, so I'm drowning up here just a little bit. I need my water wings. Make no mistake between the difference in love and God's word. God didn't pay a price for my sin debt so that I could continue in sin. God didn't say, here, let me allow Jesus Christ to come and die for your sins and wash your sins away, and you just go ahead and do what you want to do. That's not the way that God works. That's not what God wants for my life. He wants me in perfect fellowship with him. In a great big, long, drawn-out process, I guess what I'm saying tonight, church, is we need to be careful, yes, that we do love everyone, that we share the gospel with everyone. I want to go ahead and say this. Everyone is invited into our church. I don't care what their race is. I don't care what their gender is. I don't care what their sexual preference is. I don't care about any of that. They're invited into our church. But God's word, we're not judging people when we call sin, sin. God's word is the one that calls sin, sin. We're not judging people. You know what? When people look at you and say, hey, you are judging me. Listen to me. When my wife goes down the road running about 90, because she drives like a maniac, when she drives down the road doing 90, and I look at her and I say, you're speeding, you're breaking the law, I'm not judging her. I'm giving her the fact of what she's doing. The law is what judged her. God's word tells us what sin is. It is our responsibility to know God's word, let God lead our lives. And as we go and we love people, and we try to show them that there is forgiveness of sin and that God wants a personal relationship with them, I can't just continue in my sin and say everything is okay between me and God, because that's not what God's word says. Everyone is invited into our church, no matter race, no matter sexual preference, no matter gender, no matter any of those things, because the best thing that could ever happen is for each and every one of us to get a good dose of that living water, especially the sinner. Have their life changed, and have their eternity changed. As we go through the coming days, we need to realize that I don't belong to myself anymore, but I've been bought with a price. It's not about me and my wants anymore. The Bible says many different times, or several different times, that if I want to go after Christ, I must deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. It's not about me and what I want anymore. It's about what God wants in my life. And sometimes I find myself walking that line of, am I going to follow God or am I going to follow me? Because if we're not really careful, we like to follow ourselves and do what we want to do. Love God, love others like God loves them, live for God, and point others to God. In closing tonight, I want to say this. There's a lot of things that matter here on this earth. There are a lot of things that are important to us. There's a lot of things that we take personal, I guess if you could say. But we need to remember this, that there is an eternity that matters more than anything in this present life. You know, I find people on Facebook and they're in this great big argument about this topic or that topic. Let's go ahead and make the whole world mad. Facebook is a good place for cowards. It's a good place to get on there and try to say what you want to say without thinking anybody can say anything back to you. Listen, I don't do a whole lot of Facebook in that perspective because it's just that's not what I do. But look, when people want to get on Facebook and they want to argue about all of these different things, we're losing time in sharing the gospel. If you like Trump, if you don't like Trump, you know what? You're not going to change my opinion. I am what I am. I am me. And you can argue with me till the sun goes down tomorrow. And we have lost time in pointing somebody to the cross of Christ. Or if nothing else, you've lost time with your family arguing about something that you can't change in me anyway. We need to spend our time loving God, loving others like God loves them, living for God, pointing others to God, and knowing that there's an eternity that matters more than anything in this present life. Man, I know that was a tough one for the first night back. I prayed all day that God protect my mind, God protect my mouth, because my opinion does not matter whatsoever when it comes to God's word. Church, I know as we've been through the last few weeks, as we've been even through the coronavirus and going through the things that we're going through now, there's some things that make you scratch your head. There's some things that make you go, man, what in the world has people come to? But don't get wrapped up. Don't get wrapped up in the bad news that you forget who's in control, that you forget who's sitting on the throne, and that you forget that even though people may be doing things that you don't agree with, people may be doing things you just go, I cannot believe that this is going on, even though those things, care for their soul. Pray for their soul, because there's an eternity that matters way more than anything in this life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll always help us to have the love like you had for us. That, God, you look past all of my faults and my failures. And, God, you don't want me to stay in those faults and those failures, but you forgave me for them. And, God, that you want me to be able to live my life in a way that brings me into a perfect fellowship with you, that you can lead my life. And, God, that you can give me that peace and that joy that you want me to have here on this earth. God, I do pray as the things that are going on in our nation, God, only you know what that solution is. And we know that God is that solution. And God, we ask you to move in a mighty way. We ask you to touch. God, and I pray, dear Father, as Christian people, that you'll help us, that even through all of these things, no matter what our personal opinions are, no matter what our feelings are, that we never lose a love for lost people. It doesn't matter. There should be nothing that stands between us and our desire to see lost people come to know Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you'll help us and strengthen us in that. I pray that you'll help us, that we'll not allow our eyes to become cloudy to the fact that there's an eternity that matters more than anything here on this earth. God, I want to thank you most of all that you look past my faults, my failures, and my sins and gave me eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.